views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the creators of Club ADHD, the podcast. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host. At least I think I am. Yep, that's me, Russ LeBlanc, saying welcome, welcome. Did I say welcome? The answer is yes. Club ADHD, the podcast, is part of a three-pronged approach when it comes to Club ADHD. We have the podcast, we have the Twitter account, and yes, we have the Facebook page. Club ADHD is for us, adults with ADHD. And I make it a point, when it comes to the interview portion of the program, to interview people with ADHD. Successful, not so successful, struggling, not struggling, the whole gamut. The thing is, it's a podcast for us, by us, and hopefully it will help us. I'm sure it does. It helps me by doing it. Yeah, I took a break for a while, but I'm back at it, and I know what it's like to get stuck in neutral. And that's what I'd like to talk about right now. You know, with this virus going on, it's easy to become overwhelmed. Hey, we can be overwhelmed at the best of times, right? But when you throw in a pandemic and lockdowns, boy, it's one of those experiences you really don't want to go through, but you have to go through. If you happen to be feeling that, hey, I want to do some things, but my mind is stuck in neutral, well, you're not alone. I've been checking things out on the internet, and it's got to be true if it's on the internet, right? Plus, through my own personal feelings and lack of doing at times, I have come to this conclusion. During this pandemic, this type of feeling, a feeling that I can't get going, is amplified. It's amplified when it comes to us, people with ADHD. So if you're feeling that way, if you're beating yourself up because you're not doing the things you should be doing and it's driving you cuckoo and you're avoiding it, and as you're avoiding it, you still think of those things you should be doing. If you're like me, those things don't escape from your mind. You could be doing something else or nothing at all, but the thought of I've got to be doing these things don't leave your mind. It's still there. It's like a torture. It's one thing if we could avoid something totally and forget about it and just live in a world of happy thoughts. But we ADHDers, we don't think that way, right? We'll avoid something and we'll also beat ourselves up for avoiding those things, yet we can't stop avoiding those things. It's quite a cycle. And again, if that's the way you're thinking, you are not alone. Now, me saying that might be a bit of consolation for you. I hope it is. It doesn't help the problem, but that's a real problem. Do I have a suggestion on how to kick yourself out of gear? Well, I finally came to the conclusion that I have to kick myself out of gear because it resulted in some ramifications that really, it hurt. So I could just sit there being hurt. Or I can just go ahead and do something that's productive. Now, I'm waiting for something right now to come through that will assist in my monetary ability to pay the bills, if it were. And it hasn't come through, and it should have by now. Now, I could freak out about it, and maybe a couple of weeks ago I would have. But I've just come to the conclusion that there are reasons for this, and I'm not the only person waiting and all that stuff. So I'll just try to take a cool approach. I'll try to find out what's going on. Couldn't do that, or I tried, and it's just, well, it's not feasible right now. So I can just sit here and stew about it, or I can continue on and be productive. And I'm doing this podcast by being productive. Maybe you could do the same. I know it's tough. It really is tough. I empathize. And sometimes other people looking from the outside in or towards the in, they don't get it. They don't realize. Well, again, as I had mentioned before, maybe this pandemic is making them realize what it is to have an ADHD brain. them being the normal people, right? There are so many normal people who are just, well, frazzled because they can't do the things they should be doing or want to do, but because of the pandemic, they can't do it. Well, welcome to our ADHD brain. We don't need a pandemic to feel that way. And during a pandemic, it just amplifies things. So just do what you can. Do little things. I know you've heard this 1,000 times. Just do little steps and, you know, you'll accomplish bigger things. There is truth to that. Taking those little steps, it's not that little a deal. It can be a big deal. But I'm just here to offer you some support that, hey, you can do it. And if you're struggling, and if you're just, you know, wandering around and not getting things done or just beating yourself up about it, why not drop by our ADHD Facebook page and tell your story? Now, even looking at that page, when I set it up inadvertently as a business page. And as a result, it's not as productive as it would be as a normal group page. Now, I'm toying with the idea of creating a new group page, and hopefully all of the members of the business page will migrate to that group page. The reason I'm thinking about that is that because of Facebook and algorithms and the fact that it was dormant for some time, there are a large amount of followers to the page who aren't seeing posts that are being made. And maybe if I, you know, create another group and start afresh and act like a real group and not a business group, it might be better. So I'm toying around with that. Maybe you might want to address that in a tweet or on the Facebook page. And if you haven't visited the Facebook page recently, please do. That will increase the chances of you seeing the posts, because posts are being made. You know, we've got over 1,000 followers, or 1,500 or something like that. Put up a post, or I put up a post, and you see, you know, 80 eyeballs saw it. What happened to the others? So if you have some ideas, let me know. That's my rant, and sometimes I can go on and on, but I'm going to stop right now as we get set for the interview portion of the program. It's Club ADHD, the podcast. Up next, we have a person who is no stranger to Club ADHD, the podcast. He's been on several times, and I thought it'd be fun to connect with him now. So that's what I'm about to do, and it should be fun. He's a humorist, in other words, a comedian. He's a TV personality. The Red Green Show, History Bites, and you may have seen a TV special he did with Patrick McKenna called ADD and Loving It. He's an author. He's an ADHD advocate. Yeah, he runs a place called Totally ADD. And yes, he too has ADHD. He's the one, the only, Rick Green. How are you doing during this pandemic, Rick?
I'm lonely.
That's so good, huh?
I am so... You know what?
What?
I actually am speaking so... Or was speaking so seldom that my voice started to get more gravelly. Like, it, your voice ages if you don't use it. And I had, for weeks on end, was speaking, you know, now and then my wife and I talked, and I was hosting webinars and things, but it was, I suddenly realized I'm getting really gravelly. And so I started humming and singing again.
Oh, no.
By the way, humming creates something about the soft palate or up in that area in your behind your nose and all of that. When you hum,
yeah,
normally your body creates nitrous oxide there, which can be great for killing things that are coming in to bother you. And if you hum, it ups the amount of, as you're humming, it can up the amount of nitrous oxide by 20 times.
Oh, so, I did not know that.
Yeah, so I read this in New Scientist, a really respected British magazine. And so humming, when I'm in anywhere out, and I rarely am, which is a luxury, but when I am out and around, and there are people out and around, I hum under my mask.
People are saying, what's that hum? Where's it coming from?
Yeah, the air conditioner. Yeah, it's certainly not musical.
Maybe you can get an element of Zen or something.
Yeah, that too. That helps.
If you hear humming, Rick is around the corner somewhere.
Somewhere, trying to avoid you.
At least you can hum a tune. Could you do that?
No, my I have perfect non-pitch. It's bad. Okay. And yet my brother can, I can pluck something on the guitar and he'll tell you what it is.
Really?
D. How did you know that? I don't even know what it is.
I just have visions of you humming out there with a mask on. No one knows where it's coming from.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Only Rick Green.
So it's an easy time. It's easy time to become a ventriloquist.
So aside from your voice getting gravelly and all this humming, what else is going on?
Well, we're in a really good position because we've been running totally ADD from our either a small office or now in the past while from our home. So
sure,
we are renting this lovely big house that has more bedrooms than we need. And so we have an office, each have an office, there's an edit suite. So it's great. So that part hasn't changed. Not seeing people, especially not seeing the kids, but not seeing friends and family, really a challenge. We've been doing things like a game night online on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I always thought online games were, you know, shooting and so on. But there are some wonderful online games. So we play one called Code Names, which is kind of a little bit like Password or something. I don't know how to describe it. And there's something else called Jackbox TV, which my son has downloaded a number of their games, and they're great fun. So, getting together with 8, 9, 10 people online is wonderful. And of course, there's conversation and chat going on all the time there.
Yeah.
The other thing I've been doing is, you know, because I'm doing a webinar every couple of weeks, like 2 a month, but I've been adding body doubling where we, our patrons just log in together and you can just hear people need to talk. So yeah, it's great. But I also think there's a kind of a fatigue level sets in with Zoom and with those. It's not the same as human contact. It's better than none, but it is it's a compromise. I feel like I wish, you know, even when we've met people somewhere, it's been outdoors and, you know, we're staying far apart and so on. It's, you can't give anyone a hug and so on. So I'm lucky in that I have someone here. And so I can imagine how hard it is. But with ADHD, it's tricky. You know, it adds another layer of stress. And part of the problem with ADHD is not just managing your attention, but managing emotions. And when you can't talk to people, when you can't see them regularly, it's easy, I think, to lose perspective, to go inward, to start ruminating. Oh, and by the way, I'm fidgeting here. I'll put this down.
Okay. Leave that down.
Sorry. So, yeah, you almost have to overcompensate, I think, by getting out, by at least getting outdoors, you know, especially on days where it's sunny and it happens to be, has been that a few days lately. So getting out for a 40-minute walk.
Sure.
And I don't feel like going for a walk, but we do it anyway. And that's been really helpful. Vitamin D has helped. And because we're vegan, we also take a vitamin B12. We're eating really well. And here's the amazing thing to me. Starting in, I guess in January, our project for the year was to get off caffeine, which we did over about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, just slowly going from, you know, 3/4 coffee and 1/4 a different coffee substitute. There's all kinds of products out there. And bit by bit, every 3 days, we just went down another eighth or so. And after 3 weeks, we were drinking really delicious stuff and not missing the caffeine. Didn't
really
have any of the withdrawal symptoms and so on. And here's what's interesting. There's so many benefits to getting off caffeine. And I only did this because my daughter, who is a nutrition nut, and Ava, my wife, is really up on it. My daughter read a great book about caffeine, and the side effects are just, I had no idea. And one of the benefits of being off it is apparently you start to dream again. You dream.
Really?
And Ava said, and both my daughter and Ava said they're now dreaming, and they couldn't remember dreams. They didn't even know if they dreamt, and now they are having much better dreams. So, you know, as well as sleeping better and so on. So,
let me guess, they dream about drinking coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
So how's the creativity going these days? You have to be creative, or you have to spin it, or as they now say, pivot. Are you pivoting?
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, the fact that, you know, our business is online, it's a little easier to pivot. The biggest challenge for us has been our programs running, coming to the end of their run on PBS. And in the early days, it was wonderful. We were able to produce all kinds of full-length videos and a sequel, which also went on PBS. And that was 10 years ago. And they're still great. They're still relevant. There's one or two dated things in them, I would say. But they're not generating. And so we've had to figure out ways around to keep going. It's funny because you can put up a website for very little money, but it's having a website with so much content, then having a shop, and then having to have, all of these errors and omissions insurance and things like that. There's all these things that we have to have because we're dealing with a mental health issue. So it's challenging. It's been absorbing for a decade almost, but really always interesting. And you know, I think the biggest thing that's happened is, and I think we're a good part of that, or a part of it, has been the transformation in understanding what it is, what it is not, and what can be done about it.
You mentioned about going for walks and things of that nature and getting out there. Do you find with your ADHD mind it tougher, the fact that you're working at home and you really can't escape all that much? Is that challenging for you?
The biggest thing is, so I've stopped multitasking. Read a really interesting book by a Canadian author. It was called The Productivity Project. Let me just glance up at the title. Chris Bailey, C-H-R-I-S, Bailey, B-A-I-L-Y. And he spent a year trying out all the different productivity strategies and tips and tools. I haven't read the whole book yet. I have ADHD. I skimmed, went to the parts I wanted, which is fine. You're allowed to do that. It's okay. Your book. With ADHD, read what you need. Not all books are great, and you're allowed to abandon them or just dive in and out. But he talked about and quoted numerous studies about multitasking, and it is not more efficient. It feels more efficient, and it can certainly, the agitation required to balance things kind of wakes up the brain, but you're not as productive. And so I've tried to avoid doing that. Now, in my day, I may have, you know, recording a blog and writing a script for something and answering emails and welcoming a new patron and all these different things that I have to do. But what I've learned to do is transition between them. And I can't tell you who said this, darn, but somebody said that the biggest breakthrough their client got, it was a coach, I guess, who said their client realized that the transition between two tasks is a task.
Oh.
It's a to-do. And so I can't just go from one thing to the next. It's a different mindset. The mind needs a break. And in our, we learn well for about 20, 25 minutes, and then we need a break. We're not able to take anymore. And if you've been at a conference where it goes on and on, you're zoned out by the end of it. You don't remember who said what and so on. I wish so many conferences were organized, or even classes were organized for 25 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you get a break. And so what I have been doing is taking that break. So eating a really healthy vegan muffin, delish, just had one actually, between, or going downstairs and doing just a few stretches from the yoga routine, mm-hmm. or tidying up, organizing something. So rather than, as I used to, try and plow through from one thing to another, really transitioning between them and taking a moment just to take a deep breath, look outside, stretch, walk up, you know, and carry something that's upstairs to downstairs or back and forth. And I've arranged my office. It's interesting. I've arranged my office so nothing is within reach of my desk. The printer's actually in another room. So when I print something and then want to refer to it, I've got to get up and move.
Okay.
So I'm adding all of these breaks in there, physical breaks to get me up, get me going, to doing these things, because it just gives the brain time to acclimatize. And now, one more thing I'll mention that we've done on YouTube, you can, there's like 50 great hits from the 70s or 60s. So you can type in a song you love, and then it'll have 50 songs that are kind of similar, that are of that, you know, you type in, I don't know, Sugar Sugar by the Archies, right? It's a great piece of music to dance to get up and just move to. Mm-hmm. And then it'll give you more of those kind of upbeat things. And suddenly you're up and dancing to a whole bunch of classic, the Archies is not real, but you're dancing to some really great tunes. So that movement and dancing and then singing along does all kinds of stuff for your brain. It activates all kinds of the singing, especially because you're on one side with the lyrics of the brain and the other side for the tune, and then you're moving. So you're really activating all these different parts of your brain.
And then there's the neighbors.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
They it's daytime usually. So, okay. Yeah. I don't do it outdoors. I do it indoors.
I'm still hooked on that observation that you gave, that changing tasks is a task. I never thought of it that way.
Think about that.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yep, you and I were talking about the things you're working on, and it's like a break in between, stretch, go somewhere, talk to your wife, talk to somebody, talk to the wall. I threw my shoulder out, injury years ago, and so I do these, it started to get worse again, so I started doing some exercises, some physiotherapy, and that's, you know, I'm supposed to do this round, and it takes about 20, 25 minutes to do all the exercises. Well, I just break it up. I do two of them, you know, push-ups against a wall and this arm stretch or shoulder thing, whatever they are. There's a whole bunch of them. And I just break that up throughout the day. And even things like, I don't know, emptying the dishwasher, I've reframed it as not a chore, but as a nice break, tactile, noisy, cluttery. And it requires some precision. I'm like, I can't just be yanking stuff out or throwing stuff in. I have to be careful or I'll chip something. So I guess that gets into a little bit of mindfulness of being present and aware of what you're doing, as opposed to lost in thought. What am I going to talk to Russ about while I'm unloading the dishwasher? That's going to be a problem.
Well, I would think that one of the dangers with that, though, is to make sure that you have a time frame, because you could be taking a break for an hour and a half and someone's asking, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm taking a break.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So a timer is crucial. And I tend to choose a task that I think is going to take a certain amount of time. What, of course, happens is nothing goes as planned, or I see something and say, I'll just take that downstairs while I'm going down to get the screwdriver. And then I see the kitchen's messy and I start on that. So, yeah, you can decide to take a break to do some shoulder exercises and find yourself out in the garden building a house for owls or something.
That's the ADHD brain for you. So do you have to really work your brain to accept the fact that I have to take this break?
Yeah, and I think I've reframed breaks from I'm slacking and I'm not productive to I'm refueling my brain. Like I come back refreshed. I come back having whatever, if I've listened to something or learned something, I come back and it's my brain's had time to process it and take it can take in about, and this is something that's talked about in one of our videos on earning a degree, but it is 20-minute study bursts and then go do something else, ideally something physical. And I love dancing just because it's fun. The other thing I often do, in fact, probably do it a dozen times a day, is to make something into a game or make it a challenge. So it's like, can I empty the dishwasher and put everything away and make so little noise that Ava doesn't hear me do it? So now it requires me to focus, and I'm much more aware of what I'm doing as opposed to clattering everything out and so on. Now, you know, I'll still bang things and she'll hear me, but I've got a challenge. I'm at least doing something beyond just the chore. It's like, this is a game I'm going to play. I'm challenging myself, and I'm huge on that, on always trying to challenge myself and keep the brain going that way.
Well, you bring up an important aspect too, is how you label it. I guess we could say that in everything. I mean, how people label ADHD, but if you label a break as, you know, just slaggy or whatever, then it's not going to be a positive. But if you, as you say, you're refreshing, rebooting, then that's a different story.
Yeah. And it's, you know, if you're training for the Olympics, good sleep's important. Good eating is important. And you could say, I don't have time to sleep. I've got to train more. Well, that's not going to work. At some point, you will probably need some sleep between now and the next Olympic. So doing things with some bigger intention, taking away that moral judgment that this is something that I shouldn't be doing, or it's a luxury. It's no, this is essential to my brain. Doing exercise is essential to my body. And I can feel when I come back from those walks that we take together. We walk pretty briskly because it's so cold out there. It has been. When we come back, I'm refreshed. We're both refreshed. Our appetite is better. And I can go back and do another hour's worth of work easily after, you know, before we left. I think I'm toast for the day. You know? Apparently not.
Well, you've made all these changes. Have they helped in your sleep patterns during this pandemic, or before you made the changes? Did you have a problem getting enough sleep?
So I've been on and off my medication. So that's for a number of reasons. At one point, it was just I forgot. And then the doctor was closed at Christmas. And then when I called to make it get the prescription renewed, she wanted to wait 2 weeks, or she wanted to do an appointment rather than just automatically renew it. And so it was another, I think I was off medication for 5 or 6 weeks over this winter. And then at the same time, trying to quit caffeine. So that was very interesting. But what I found is once I'm off the caffeine, I actually can focus much better. So
do you sleep better off of the medication?
No, really no different. I'm lucky that way. I don't think I do. I think if I'm concerned about something, then yeah, I can wake up in the middle of the night. What I've learned to do is that when I wake up in the middle of the night and then the mind starts going, is to just tell myself, and repeatedly usually, this will be there in the morning. Yeah. If it is a big concern, write it down on a piece of paper. Or worst come to worst, get up, go over to the computer, turn it on, and write it out. Just get down the concern, or it may not be a concern. It may be, oh, that's a great idea, and it starts to run away with me. You know, oh, I could do this and I could do that, and then it's like, no, get up, write it down or jot it down somewhere. Because the flip side is, I know if I go, I'll remember this in the morning.
Yeah,
I won't remember this in the morning.
Right.
I know I won't. So, yeah. But normally I can just say, you know, if it's a concern, especially more with a concern, because just telling myself it'll be there in the morning, you'll deal with it then. Don't lose sleep over this, or you won't deal with it as well. Like just basically coaching myself.
Right. Now, with this pandemic, and you talk to a lot of people, you don't get out there, but a lot of people view your videos and all the content. Have you discovered that the reactions or the way people are acting, ADHDers are acting, it's different with the pandemic? Have you found that?
I think everybody's affected on some level. I think it's also hard when you hear, and I've tried to isolate myself from this, but when you hear what's going on in the world, especially the political situation across the U.S., I found it so upsetting. I just had to tune out. I mean, I rarely watch the news anyway, because I know that if it's serious, someone will mention it to me, you know. And the news isn't really information anymore. It's just stories. The one program we do watch every week is CBS Sunday Morning.
Right. And it's as do I.
Yeah. It's music, arts, theater, rock and roll, play, artists, painters, sculpting.
The gamut.
It's fantastic. A wonderful show. And then they always have at least two really uplifting stories of people doing wonderful things or communities doing wonderful things. So I love it. And they had, for a long time, they had the Beyond the Pale comedian. What's his name?
Gaffigan.
Yes, Jim Gaffigan. Thank you. Yeah. So Jim Gaffigan was doing these weekly reports on his family of 5 kids in a tiny, well, not tiny, but in an apartment in New York. Pretty amusing.
Funny guy.
So, but I really monitor I think long before I started really monitoring what I was eating and putting in my body, I started monitoring what I was watching. And I remember I was watching Cops, the show where they show,
yeah.
And they always end, the last one is always a car chase of some kind, or at least high speed through the city to get to a crime. And was watching it one time, and my wife came in and just said, I can't watch that. I don't want to see people having the worst moment of their lives. Yeah. And I wouldn't want people seeing me having the worst moment of my life. And I thought, that's it. I'm done with this. I don't, you know, just for laughs gags. Yeah, occasionally it's very clever, but yeah, mostly it's
a lot of it is cruel.
Someone. Yeah, they sneak up behind someone with a spray bottle and they go, achoo, and then spritz them and then turn and walk away. And we now laugh at the person having a perfectly normal reaction to an unpleasant, upsetting event.
Right.
You know, but that's what it's come down to, laughing at people's humanity or their whatever.
Or their ADHD.
Exactly. I'm really cautious about what I watch these days.
That sounds like wise advice, Rick, especially when you also factor in the information that's out there, especially on the internet, information that isn't true. But if you take a look at it quickly, you think, oh, yeah, that is true. The world is flat or whatever. And then you toss in all of the other information, all of the other news about things and places we have no control over, but we get worked up about it. That just can't be healthy for us.
Yeah.
So how do you break away? You just avoid news?
Yeah, I think so. I think you do for a while, because whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Somebody once said, they said about 9/11, somebody they loved was just so stuck on it, so upset and watching for days on end and talked about it for years and still traumatized by it. And yet that person knew nobody in the towers, knew nobody in New York. And that person could have been watching something wonderful, something upbeat, or doing something wonderful and upbeat, going to the freaking hospital and reading to elderly people or children or something positive, instead of spending all these hours on something that, she said, does this have any actual effect on her? Maybe the price of something went up slightly and so on, but it had zero effect on them. And people are, well, we got to keep up on news. Okay. Well, do you know what's going on in Bolivia? Do you know what's going on in Bangladesh right now? Do you know what's going on in New Zealand? There's a whole world of stuff going on, and you can get lost in it.
Yeah, you got a point there. But that's not to say that we shouldn't be informed, right? I mean, we should know what's going on in the world, but we can't get totally engrossed with it. And when it comes to some of the news we're hearing or seeing information on the internet, we've got to be smart.
Yeah, and ask yourself, is this logical? Has this ever happened in history before? And that, you know, that can be on small things too. It's a long story, but my daughter and my ex-wife were traveling through the U.S. to various Irish dance competitions, and they disappeared off the radar. I didn't hear from them. I called one or two people I knew and said, because they weren't answering their phones, as they were in the States, and I don't even know if they had cell phones at that point. And have you seen my wife and daughter? And said, yeah, but not for a couple of days, I think. And nobody could remember, and they weren't at the hotel they were supposed to be at. And I just started to imagine the worst, because they'd driven through some pretty tough cities down in the States. And I got myself really worked up that they had been murdered. They'd been carjacked and murdered. And then I went, wait a minute, what are the odds of this happening? And it turned out, of course, that their hotel was slightly overbooked, so they went to a different hotel because there was too much noise at that hotel. It was all innocent. But I can't tell you, it was horrible how upset I was. I was crying. I was so frightened. And then it was like, wait a minute. And the funny thing is, don't be ridiculous. And 5 minutes later, but what if, what if, what if?
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to, like, one of the things to develop, not just about focus on attention, but the ability to identify and interrupt those worst case scenarios. We're hardwired for that.
Yeah, we are. We're stinking thinking, as Zig Ziglar once called it. Yeah, we think of the worst.
It's useful. It is really useful if you lived 10,000 years ago when that stick that you're walking by could be a snake. Our brains are designed to scan, scan, scan. And the people who survived were the ones who went, is that a snake or a skit? A snake, that went through life agitated, and which is why ADHD survives, because we're so hyper alert and hypersensitive. we get to pass our genes on, where somebody's just going along, oh, yeah, it's a stick or something probably, and then gets bit. They don't get to pass their genes on.
Yeah.
And so we have so much in our favor right now. And
yeah.
It's so easy to focus on what you don't have. And there's, again, all kinds of psychological sure. reasons the minute we get something, we get so used to it. You know, that new car, I got my dream car. 6 months later or 3 months or a month later, it's like, yeah, Susan shouldn't have said that. And we're lost in that glow. How long does it last? Not long.
And if you want to help discover ways in how you can elongate that glow, visit Totally ADHD. Oh, wait a minute. Correction. TotallyADD.com. I always make that slip up.
You can actually, I think, you know, I'm sure you type in Totally ADHD, you'll get there as well. And that's the website with all of the blogs and videos are there and tools and a bunch of quizzes. And there's a YouTube channel full of, I don't know, 100 and something videos. And then there's a shop with, I think it's 15 full-length videos. There's a great set on medication that's on sale right now, and it goes on and off sale, but it is 35 doctors and 18 adults sharing their experience on medication on every aspect. It's amazing, that video.
Well, Rick, it's been amazing talking to you as per usual. And if I hear humming, I know that Rick is around.
Mm-hmm.
Hum us out, Rick. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you for having me. Ciao.
Hum. it's always fun and interesting to talk with Rick. And don't forget to check out his website for Totally ADD. It's a simple address to remember. It's TotallyADD.com. Again, it's TotallyADD.com. I told you it would be a simple one. And I'm going to give him a round of applause for joining us in everything he does in supporting our cause. Yes, our collectively. Well, that's about it for this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I hope you found it interesting and informative and a little fun as well. Club ADHD, the podcast, is part of a total thing called Club ADHD. We have the podcast, the Twitter account, and the Facebook page. If you want to hear everything, all of the podcasts we've done so far, and we have done many, just visit our webpage. It's clubadhd.ca, clubadhd.ca. Plus, there are links to our Twitter account, our Facebook page, and a link to moi. I'd love to hear from you. If it's anything negative, please don't send it. Just thought I'd throw that out there. We are a fragile bunch. And that said, this is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, saying so long for now.